Who'd do a thing like that? Both the witches turned to look at the stones.
I don't know what, but I knows where it come from, said Granny.
Now Nanny Ogg could see that the bracken all around the stones was indeed well trodden down and quite brown.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this, said Granny.
You'd better not go into...
I knows exactly where I should go, thank you.
There were 8 stones in the dancers. 3 of them had names. Granny walked around the ring until she reached the one known as the Piper. She removed a hat pin from among the many that riveted her pointy hat to her hair and held it about 6 inches from the stone. Then she let it go and watched what happened. She went back to Nanny.
There's still power there, she said. Not much, but the ring is holding.
But who'd be daft enough to come up here and dance round the stones, said Nanny Ogg.
And then, as a treacherous thought drifted across her mind, she added,
Magrat's been away with us the old time.
We shall have to find out, said Granny, setting her face in a grim smile. Now, help me up with the poor man.
Nanny Ogg bent to the task.
Cough, he's heavy. We could have done with young Magrat up here.
No, flighty, said Granny Weatherwax, head easily turned.
Nice girl, though.
But soppy. She thinks you can lead your life as if fairy stories work and folk songs are really true. Not that I don't wish her every happiness.
Hope she does all right as queen, said Nanny.
We taught her everything she knows, said Granny Weatherwax.
Yeah, said Nanny Ogg, as they disappeared into the bracken. Do you think, maybe...
What?
Do you think, maybe, we ought to have taught her everything we know?
It'd take too long.
Yeah, right.
It took a while for letters to get as far as the Arch-Chancellor. The post tended to be picked up from the university gates by anyone who happened to be passing, and then left lying on a shelf somewhere, or used as a pipe lighter or a bookmark, or in the case of the librarian, as bedding. This one had only taken 2 days, and was quite intact, apart from a couple of cup rings and a bananary fingerprint. It arrived on the table, along with the other post, while the faculty were at breakfast. The dean opened it with a spoon.
"Anyone here know where Lancre is?" he said.
"Why?" said Ridcully, looking up sharply.
"Some king's getting married and wants us to come."
"Oh dear, oh dear," said the lecturer in recent runes. "Some tinpot king gets wed, and he wants us to come."
"It's up in the mountains," said the Arch-Chancellor quietly. "Good trout fishing in those parts, as I recall. My word, Lancre, good grief. Hadn't thought about the place in years. You know there's glacier lakes up there where the fish have never seen a rod. Lancre, yes."
"And it's far too far," said the lecturer in recent runes.
Ridcully wasn't listening.
And there's deer, thousands of head of deer, and elk. Wolves all over the place. Mountain lions, too, I shouldn't wonder. I heard that ice eagles have been seen up there again, too."
His eyes gleamed.
"There's only 6 of them left," he said.
Mustrum Ridcully did a lot for rare species. For one thing, he kept them rare.
"It's the back of beyond," said the dean, "right off the edge of the map."
"Used to stay with my uncle up there in the holidays," said Ridcully, his eyes misty with distance. "Great days I had up there. Great days. The summer's up there, and the skies are deeper blue than anywhere else. It's very... And the grass. And..."
He returned abruptly from the landscapes of memory.
"Got to go, then," he said. "Duty calls. Head of state getting married. Important occasion. Got to have a few wizards there. Look of the thing. Noblius obligé."
"Well, I'm not going," said the dean. "It's not natural, the countryside. Far too many trees. Never could stand it."
"The bursar could do with an outing," said Ridcully. "Seems a bit jumpy just lately. Can't imagine why."
He leaned forward to look along the high table.
"Bursar?"
The bursar dropped his spoon into his oatmeal. "See what I mean?" said Ridcully. "Bundle nerves the whole time."
"I was saying you could do with some fresh air, bursar."
He nudged the dean heavily. "Hope he's not going off his rocker, poor fella," he said, in what he chose to believe was a whisper.
"Spends too much time indoors, if you get my drift."
The dean, who went outdoors about once a month, shrugged his shoulders.
"I expect..."